Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, Saint Joseph, Saint Pope Saint Damasus, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Pope we celebrate today, Pope Saint Damasus, was not a martyr of the early church, which is kind of surprising. He died in 384 AD, and he served as Pope for 18 years. And most of the popes in the early years of the church did die as martyrs, because that was really the time of persecution. But this was after Constantine had made the church, you might say, legalized the faith in the Roman Empire, and the persecution, for the most part, was ended. So Pope Saint Damasus, who was the Pope who served for the time period after that, reign of peace, you might say, with the empire, decided to take up all these martyrs and their relics and to preserve their places of martyrdom and the places where they were kept, their bodies were kept, their memory of these martyrs, the liturgical celebration. He so wanted to make sure that the church remembered these great heroes of the faith, these who had given their life for Christ, that he wanted to work especially to preserve that and to show forth the great witness of these early saints, and especially those who were so fresh in the memory of the church, who had shown forth their fidelity to Christ. Pope Saint Damasus, it is said, had a great love for the purity of the faith, and I'm sure that's what attracted, or why he so promoted the martyrs, because they were ones who really gave their ultimate sacrifice and witness for the truth and the purity of the faith, because they died not wanting to compromise with the pagan influences or with the pagan clash, you might say, that was taking place between the pagan culture and the Christian culture that was emerging because of the church. They would rather give their lives for Christ. And so Pope Saint Damasus worked very hard to ensure that the cult, the veneration of the early martyrs of the church and any martyr would after that be held in such great honor and esteem in the church. He was the son of a priest. They're not sure whether or not his father was either a widower when he became a priest, or whether he was one of those early men in the church who were married and celibate. But anyway, his father became a priest after he was born, and Pope Saint Damasus became a priest after the example of his father, and went to the seminary and was eventually became Pope. His secretary was the famous Saint Jerome, who he encouraged to write or to translate the Bible into Latin, and esteemed Saint Jerome's learning and holiness of life, and encouraged him to take up his studies in the Scripture and to eventually produce what we know as the Latin Vulgate. So we have much to thank Pope Saint Damasus for: his own personal example of holiness, his influence on Saint Jerome, and his preservation of the faith and preservation of the veneration of the martyrs of the early church. In the readings today, we hear how the prophet Isaiah kind of contrasts the condition of the people of Israel before the coming of the Messiah. and how really they were a maggot, Jacob, he says. A maggot Israel and a worm Jacob. But the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer, is going to come and restore and improve upon it and bring life to the barren desert. He's going to bring water to a parched land. He's using all this imagery to show how really the condition of man in a state of sin is really lesser than it ought to be. That we were originally intended by God to be created in grace, and what a terrible fall we had when we fell from that state, when our original parents disobeyed God, and really we really became like a maggot and a worm in the eyes of God and of what we were called to be, and how God is going to restore them and build them once up again when he comes as their Redeemer, as their Messiah. And how we hear in the readings of the responsorial psalm that this is all evidence of God's great mercy and kindness, how he is slow to anger and quick to forgive, and the blessings that God will restore upon Israel and all generations. Our Lord in the gospel is just pointing out to us, and especially in this time of Advent, we're reminded of all the prophets who preceded the Messiah, how pre-announced the coming of the Lord was, and it culminates in John the Baptist, who is the prophet of all the prophets, that he's making it very clear to his audience that if they didn't know that he was proclaiming to be the Messiah, then he has given them good evidence when he tells them that, he holds up St. John the Baptist as a great man, and that he says that all the prophets in the law prophesied up to the time of John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. He is just, you might say, connected the dots. He points out that St. John the Baptist has come in the office of Elijah. And all the Israelites knew from the prophecy of Malachi that Elijah the prophet was to come before the Messiah, before that great and terrible day. And so our Lord is pointing out to them that this is being fulfilled in St. John the Baptist, who is Elijah for them, and that they have, those who have ears ought to take heed, ought to hear that. He really is pointing that out to them, that God, our Lord, manifested very clearly who he was to his audience and pointed out to them in various ways his identity, that they could recognize him. And the same goes for those today who are searching for Christ. He has given very many signs and evidences of where they can find him and his church. We know that the church has four marks of holiness, one Catholic apostolic, one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and that these signs are still quite evident for those who have sincerity and the perseverance to discover this. He has given so many, history, you might say, supports the evidence of the church being the church founded by Christ, the sacramental character of the church, which is by nature, so attractive to the human soul. That because of as St. Augustine says, that the man's soul by nature is Christian. It means that he is so disposed to it that he is readily, if he can overcome, especially his whatever obstacles that he has because of his sinfulness and the obstacles that come from a darkened intellect and a weak will because of original sin, with the help of God's grace, he can see the church as being the the one that Christ has established for him and to be his redeemer through the church today. So as our Lord has used many ways to bring people to the truth of his divine sonship, and the, when he came, so for this second coming, before he comes again, he gives many evidences and signs to help people come to know the church as his mystical body and the one established to bring that saving truth to all ages, every age, to bring Christ to them through his church. Let us pray in a special way during this time of Advent that those who are in the darkness today, who maybe through ignorance or through because of sinfulness, they have chosen darkness or are living in darkness, do not know the great joy and beauty and truth that resides in the church, that they may discover it and come to see Christ working and ministering to them through his church and come to know Christ and his coming for them in this time in which we live. The church is truly sent on a mission, and that is, of course, to bring Christ to all men and women. And so it has the role of John the Baptist in one way: behold the Lamb of God. The church at every Mass repeats those words of John the Baptist to all men and women today so they can recognize here is the one that they have been looking for, the one who maybe they didn't realize it, but that their hearts were restless until they rest in him. Let us ask Our Lady as we prepare for Christmas to dispose those hearts and minds to this sacred truth and this joy of salvation that we celebrate at Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.